from an undisclosed location high in the Hollywood Hills, it's time once again for the long shot, come hell or high water. Tonight's episode, the possibility of lows isn't very high, but also the possibility of highs isn't very high. And now, please welcome the host of The Long Shot, Sean Conroy!
Thank you. Good afternoon, good evening, good desk. Welcome to The Long Shot. It is a podcast. I'm your host. My name is Sean Conroy. With me today on the show, the woman whose vacuum cleaner we cannot see, Amber Kenny, is here.
Hello.
And of course, the man with a plan, a canal, Panama, Jamie Flam, is here.
Hi, good to be back.
Joe Wagner is somewhere smoking.
On location.
Yes. Welcome to the program. We always start the show, so let's do that.
We always start the show.
100% of the time.
When we have a show, we start it. So
let's do it.
I feel like I'm kind of going crazy here in my place.
Why?
Like it's the quarantine is starting to get to me, you know?
Oh,
I know
just
it's
now?
I know it's over, but yeah.
That's actually a really good run.
Yeah, you lasted
it's
a while.
It's a beginning to affect me. yeah, I just feel like today in, you know, I'm here in my apartment as I have been for 15 months now or whatever
well,
it is.
Well, not really. You've been in...
I was in New York and I was in Idaho. Yeah,
right. Yeah, you're things. A world traveler.
Yeah, yeah. Lockdown. But it just feels like I have been locked into this place for so long, to the point where last night, I was thinking about this last night, like Friday night was not a night for me to be home ever for my entire adult life, because Friday night is a night, and it's not like I'm like, yeah, hey, I'm out on the town checking out the ladies, you know.
Clubbing,
my favorite activity. No, it's Friday night is a night when people go out to be entertained. And so I would be out at a stand-up
tap dancing
place or a improv show, a tap dance. It just was, or even if I was not performing, I knew that I could go somewhere and see people that I knew and spend time with those people. And now that just doesn't exist anymore, at least for me. I know some of that stuff is starting to come back, but I have felt a decided lack of that in my life. So I was just sitting here last night and I was like, what the fuck am I doing?
You right. know?
That's how I felt every Saturday night for the last year.
Yeah.
Because that's the night that I get out on the town.
Well, you Friday nights are home nights for you.
Yes.
You love being home.
Getting like ready for Saturday.
TJF. Watching yep. your favorite shows.
Cooking a stew. Doing some yard work. I literally, I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here last night. And I just went out in my car and drove up Mulholland Drive just to go somewhere.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was, I had not, you know, I've only lived here for a decade and a half. So I have never been up there before. It's like five
never?
Minutes from my house. No.
What are you talking about? It's like,
what do you mean?
So
like
close.
When you say going to Mulholland. There's like different
you have to like
overlooks.
Actively but... avoid Mulholland from your apartment at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah, it's very nearby.
But where do you go if you're going to Mulholland? What is the destination?
It's a road you drive on it.
Mm.
So I drove up.
Okay, that was right.
I did stop. I found an overlook, overpass, over a scenic vista.
That's what Mulholland's famous for, right?
Right?
Am I crazy? Am I hello?
I think it's famous because they named it after a movie called Mulholland Drive.
Right.
So the movie was already famous before they named the road, but you know.
I saw that movie for the first time in college when I ate two pot cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those like, I think the first one isn't doing anything, like the classic.
Yeah.
And then watch
rookie,
Mulholland
rookie
Drive.
Rookie mistake. Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Mulholland Drive, but
I've never seen it.
It is.
Isn't that the one where somebody's talking to himself on the phone or something like it, that?
I couldn't tell you, but it's like a mind trip without drugs. And so I was just like, it was truly a terrifying.
I saw that for the first time in college too. And also I think on drugs. And I remember it was one of the first artsy movies that had any sort of just, this is not a blockbuster, where like the first 20 minutes is a lot of silence and just being like, what is, this is different than anything I've experienced.
Well, yeah. Yeah. It's,
I still have not seen it, but I have been on Mulholland Drive. So I've been on the road that was named after the movie.
You did half the work.
Mm-hmm. And I stopped and looked out over, I guess it was just the valley, like over, Universal City. That's where I stopped. I looked the over Minion. Universal City. I didn't see the Minion. Is there a Minion over there?
There's a huge ass Minion.
I missed the Minion.
His head is popping up.
Not, I guess I just didn't notice.
Maybe on the other side of Universal. Yeah.
But it was very colorful and whatever. It was just nice to get the fuck out of this place, you know? And then I was here again today and I don't know what was going on, but there was just so much noise right outside. And I don't have, you know, it's a courtyard. It's like people who live here and it sounded like there was like a dog fight going on and people screaming at each other. And then construction work.
You have like a,
it's a pretty sedate place. Yeah.
I mean, you've had neighbors that have barking dogs that you are
annoyed by. Yeah.
Yes. But it's not like a regular.
But generally, it's only because drama. They're walking by and the dogs go crazy. Like for whatever reason, the dogs scream the entire time they're leaving the apartment and the entire time they're coming back in. They may do that inside their particular homes. I don't know, but I just can't hear them. But certainly on their way out and on their way in, they're like, no. they don't want to go out and they don't want to come back in. So anyway, I'm just a little losing my mind here. But here we are. The Long Shot. It's a podcast. Jamie Flam is here making a rare, unscheduled appearance. So why don't we start today checking in. Let's go to Jamie. Let's start with Jamie. Let's find out what's been going on with Jamie. Jamie, I know.
Like there has to be things.
Yeah.
You'd think.
But it's been like 2 months since you were here. So
I think it's been 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. 2 missed pods or unattended pods. I think the headline is, well, actually, and I don't think this is going to go anywhere, but it's just so in line with what you just said.
We'll be the judge of that.
Everything you just described about the noise in your apartment is the absolute par for the course in my apartment area.
Mm-hmm.
Although in the last few weeks, there's the sound of these 2 kids. It's like almost they're cartoonish, but 3 doors down or 2 doors down, there's these 2 probably.
Is it 3 doors down? Because they're great.
I'm apartment 3, they're apartment 1.
2 doors down, not as good.
No.
Tribute band.
Wait, am I? Yeah, I'm apartment 3. But they literally
now
like
people
today,
are going to find you, Jamie. They just have to look up apartment 3, Los Angeles.
I know.
And they're going to be knocking on your door.
But they're like just cartoonishly just running around giggling. And it's like hard to be mad at that.
What makes it cartoonish? Like that's such a, that sounds like kids just being kids. How is it? Are they like, like their eyes are popping out or what's the.
Just chasing each other, but like getting such delight for literally, I think literally hours today. Like
oh, wow.
The sound of like little steps going up and down and around the building and
people puppies.
So there's that. But then on, I think it was Wednesday around 10 a.m. I hear the biggest, sound like a crash. And I was sitting here and I was like, what was that? And I've heard like, I'm right by, I don't want to give too many clues, but I'm on a major intersection.
You're right by apartment 2.
Right by apartment 2.
I don't want to give too many clues, but there are streets near my apartment.
And they intersect with each
other. They cross, yeah.
But it is like an intersection where there's oftentimes accidents. And I'll hear every once in a while like the sound of screeching tires. And every once in a while I'll go out and there's a bit of an accident. But this was not a crash, but it was a big boom. And I was writing and just like, I kind of curious, but didn't go out. And then about 10 minutes later, I start to hear the sirens and they pull up on my street. So I walk out, interested to see what's going on. And there's a bunch of people looking. There's a fire truck. And it kind of felt like a David Lynch or like a X-Files, like the first scene in X-Files.
The lights were going, but it was silent. Yeah.
Well, all the fire people were confused and looking around. They couldn't see anything. They didn't know.
Exactly. Looks like we got in another invisible car crash, Bob.
And the most dangerous kind.
I went up to one of my neighbors and just said, "Do you know what's going on?" And they said, "Yeah, about 10 minutes ago, someone saw a U-Haul and a massive explosion came out the top of it. And then they just sped off." And so they were trying to figure out what was going on. So that's all I know.
Fast and the Furious or something.
So I don't know what happened.
So you never figured it out?
Never figured it out.
Just, which is why this is one of those things where a U-Haul drives by and explodes and then keeps going.
Yeah, I think so. That was Meth Lab did come up as a potential option. Yeah. But who knows?
Do people keep Meth Labs in their U-Hauls these days?
I think it's a classic. Actually, last week, Dynasty, the building, was treated for termites.
Mm.
And so that entire building was tented.
It was a meth lab.
And so I'm assuming that there was a lot of cooking going on in there.
That's what happens when they tent you for termites. So what else, James? So you had an explosion that you don't know what the source or what the result of it yes, was.
Check it off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the big thing is Vanessa got back a week ago. And I don't know if you guys have had this
experience. Didn't even know she was gone.
She and her family went to Virginia for the last, I think, 10 or 11 months.
Oh, that's a long time.
They have a house out there that they bought a few years ago that they Airbnb all year long. And then it's where her parents live. In a small town in Virginia. So they just went cross country towards the beginning of the pandemic and have been living there and then finally made their way back. And that was, and I don't know if you guys have had the experience, but like we've been Zooming, you know, constantly for this last year. But seeing her like for the first time in her family, like in the flesh was just like the most, it's just so much more different. And I'm sure I'll feel similar to seeing you people for the first time whenever that happens. But like,
well, I saw you in December.
That is true. That is true. And it did feel that way, didn't it?
It was amazing.
Anyway. Sean. I do. As soon as you're ready, we should record at the theater if you want.
It's safe there?
Good.
Well, once the termites are gone.
I was going to say, who knows if the ceiling's going to collapse, you know?
As far as I know, it's fine. I don't know. And then in this last week, our plan was to open the theater July 1st, and that's still generally the plan. It's July 1st, we're back at a limited capacity. But all of a sudden, things started changing. Capacity levels started changing. We had some showcases the week after next on the books already that were going to be like 20 people in the theater, very limited. And then all of a sudden, we got hit up by a comic that we love on that wanted to do a show this, like literally this coming Wednesday. And so the engine just unexpectedly is just, you know, back in action. And so it's been a lot. And I think Thursday I was at the theater. I had hired a cleaning crew to come post termites. I don't know what's going on.
Are the termites gone?
I didn't see any termites before. I didn't see any after.
Well, it doesn't have to be tented unless there's termites there.
Well, our building manager was showing me, I was like, where are these termites? And I think it's mostly on the outside and it's a big building. It's possible that they were not in the theater at all, but,
mm-hmm.
But there was, we sent out a blast, to
were our, is that the thing? Is that the thing you heard?
We sent out a blast to our mailing list and then, you know, put one Instagram post saying
the fire guy is going, I don't know. It was just, we heard a blast and apparently there's a comic we love at the Dynasty Typewriter next week.
And it was just the surreal moment of like, all of a sudden we're back out there. The world knows we need to hire more people. And it was so crazy on Thursday between Thursday.
Apparently nobody is taking jobs these days because they're all getting paid by the government.
Just with this little bit of just like throwing at the bottom of an Instagram post and like a little thing on in a mail blast, like close to 100 job applications, resumes. It was like nuts.
100? That's insane.
It was crazy.
How many people are you hiring? What are you hiring? Like 95?
We can hire about 95. So five people will be very disappointed.
Very heartbroken. But no, that's like a full-time job, just like reading the resumes and interviewing them and all of that stuff. That's a big undertaking. Even,
yesterday, Vanessa and I started going through. We got through 20 and it took like 2 hours. Like, right. Oh shit. But that is all to say, just the energy has been kind of building to this. But the last 48 hours has been like, especially like, all right, on Wednesday, I need to figure out who we're going to have there. We're going to have a show. And the capacity.
What if you guys didn't feel like you had to read the resumes one word per person at a time, passing them back and forth? Like, wouldn't it go faster if you each read them separately?
But that's the more fun kind of improv game style way of doing it.
No, I mean, what has to happen? Do you each have to read the resume and then you go, what about this person? They have juggling as a special skill. They worked as a shoe salesman and they're from Dubuque. And then you go, let's put them on the maybe pile. I mean, how does the process work?
You have tiers.
It was exactly like that. And I don't know if I should, Aaron, maybe be prepared to like X this part out because it might be too specific, but I think it's so interesting.
But Fred Bilson is definitely not getting the job.
Social security number.
There was someone that applied and like the bulk of their application, like the questions involved their time when they ran the wiener car.
The Oscar Mayer thing?
To be fair, that feels like an enchanty, whimsical, like it feels
I'm only saying it, like we liked him a lot.
Trying to be in your wheelhouse, it sounds like.
No, I think that they're like, this person seems like a really good fit.
I drove the Wienermobile. I love Harry Potter. I know how to make coins disappear.
You know me and Harry Potter. So anyway, that's kind of the biggest news. It's just like
that's really big. Up.
And that's all legal and above board. In other words, there's no regulations at this
point. It's not like a speakeasy situation.
You can only have this many people. You're allowed to do all this stuff.
Well, I mean, the capacity is 100, which we're allowed to do because everyone's required to either be vaccinated or have a negative COVID test to get in.
And so how are you going? And by positive meaning a negative meaning a positive. A positive is a negative. So how are you going to make sure people got vaccinated? Are you going to check for vaccine cards?
We'll check for vaccine cards. We're letting everyone know.
I don't believe you.
Sorry, Sean.
Are you? What's your status?
I can't come. My status is vaccinated, missing a vaccine card.
He ripped up his own vaccination card.
like
you make it sound like I did it as a protest. Yeah. No, by accident. I accidentally tore it in half and threw it away.
The whole last episode, it was like, people aren't going to ask for the vaccination card. And so it's very funny.
But no, I don't believe that. Are you really going to ask people for their vaccination cards?
Yeah, that's the plan. I mean, I think
that's good. I think you should, you know, because I thought you were going to say, no, it's just Scout's honor, which I feel like people would just be like, yeah.
Of course. Who walks in and says like, no, I can't come in here. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like
know I was supposed to be vaccinated. Yeah.
I think most of our audience is probably anti-vaxxers. Yes.
Who is going to deal with the person who shows up and goes, you can't ask me for that. That's a violation of my civil liberties. Who's going to deal with that?
There are people who try to start shit just to try to start.
Yeah. There's going to be somebody who does that.
There was an organized group for the past year who would maskless go to different stores and say that it was like their civil rights were being violated, that they were getting kicked out. Like,
I just don't think Dynasty Typewriter is on the radar, their radar.
I think it doesn't matter. I think people like that are just looking for places to fuck shit up with, you know? So it's not like people are like, I really love causing a scene, but not in an alternative comedy space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they actually might be seeking us out. I think, I mean, for now, it's me, I guess. I mean, we'll have door
so
people.
They're just going to get in. Yeah.
My specialty. I actually have another gear, and I'm a lot of this last year. I mean,
I just picture you going, can you wait here? I need to go get the guy who drives the Wienermobile.
Do a card trick for him or something. You know,
distract him.
You know how you drove the Wienermobile? Tell this guy he can't come in.
It's like that.
Oh shit.
You've been training for this for years.
Yeah, I think we'll find out. I feel like I've evolved. That is another aspect of this coming back to life, is I feel like I've learned so much and have changed so much in this last year, and a lot of all this self-work and such a concentrated amount of time. But already, even since Vanessa's been back in the last couple of weeks, it's just like, oh, everything is going to be kind of a test of that. Like, it's one thing to know, like, you know, intellectually, like, I think I've gotten over this hump, but it's not until you're in these situations that you really know.
Right. That's what I was going to bring up, is that, you know, you've done a lot of this work theoretically.
Self-work.
But in practice, it's a different thing.
I know exactly what I'm going to do when somebody shows up without a mask and says I'm violating their civil rights. Yes, go right in, sir.
I'm so sorry.
Clear the front row then.
Would you like a free popcorn?
We have a VIP coming in.
Damn it, I wish we had hired that Wienermobile guy.
Yeah. Green room access? Absolutely. tell the talent.
You want they have some a money?
I need to do more self-work. Now you're going to have your self-work practical, and you're going to see how that goes. So have you had any situations like that so far where you're able to, like, now go, yes, I did it, or I should have done this differently?
I think the overall one is just the amount of thing, the whirlwind that is happening in the last few days. Like, what I would have described as a whirlwind for sure, like years ago.
Well, you said the whirlwind that's been happening the last few days.
Oh, but with like air quotes around it, like sarcastically.
Yes. Because I'm not reacting as if it is whirlwind. There's certainly a lot of things happening, but I've been calm and collected, and like just being like, any point I feel like a little bit overwhelmed, I'm like, no, what is the reality? Okay, we need to make sure we have sodas and candies, and we need to have people working.
And before this, if you needed to make sure you had sodas and candies, like, whirlwind!
I think avoiding email and just kind of shutting down and just not.
Sodas and candies is the cutest thing to have a meltdown about.
As I was saying, candies, it's like something about the word candy.
The fact that was the first thing on your list of things. No, I'm not. I'm out of the whirlwind. I mean, now I'm like, yeah, let's get sodas and candies. We can do that.
Sounds ridiculous.
It's so cute.
That is the perspective of it. It's like, everything always feels so, it's like, that is our business. Like, we put on shows. Like, the worst case scenario is there's no soda or candy.
Steve, we got to go to DEFCON 5 at the snack bar. There's no sodas or candies. Where the fuck is Jamie? He is in the slop sink closet hyperventilating because of the whirlwind.
I've got good news and bad news. We've got sodas. But no candy.
Well, I don't know if this feels semi-related, but yesterday Vanessa and I were invited. Do you guys know what Mortified is? I'm sure I've talked about it on the show, but
endlessly, only yes. 500 or 600 times since we started.
It's you know, I'm close with the producer, one of the producers of the show, but they have a new podcast where they want to bring people, couples or partners, business partners, creative partners, and have them read, whether it's their diary entries from the past to each other, to see like if they can actually find anything interesting, see if this, how this person might have changed. And so Vanessa and I went through our stuff, found some things to share with each other. And this is my first time going through my old diaries in a long time. And more than ever, like, I've been so attached to this old version of myself, but I don't know what it was. Like, after this experience yesterday, I was like, I kind of want to burn this. Like, I've been so connected to, like, the trying to, like, you know, whether it's make fun of or use that as a base of content for me now. And yeah, like, literally, I was like, I just don't, I'm definitely not that same person, but I'm ready just to move on. I'm ready to worry about me now and what's next. Because, and obviously in a bigger way, it's not just my diaries. It's just like past versions of myself that aren't serving me anymore. That, like, I don't know. It was just very palpable yesterday. Like, literally, I was thinking, like, I'm setting him on fire. I was like, I am ready to move past high school and 20 and 30. Like, this is
slow down. Me. Slow down. Let's not get ahead of ourselves moving past high school. I mean, you only got out of high school 25 years ago.
It is crazy. I mean, and it's been, I remember the last podcast, I was feeling some, I don't know if it was confidence or just like just being able to be more present than I feel like I am most of the time. And I didn't know what today was going to be like. And I think last time I had taken a ADHD pill, like at some point before, which affects me very much.
By the way, there was just a huge crash outside your apartment.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That was an airplane. I hope it did not crash. But yeah, I'm on no substances right now. And but just as I'm talking to you guys.
So last episode, you were on drugs and that affected your perception and your reaction.
And that's why we were like, wow, you're great. And yeah, we were like enabling you.
I
mean,
I just think it might have helped a little.
You seem like a good dude all of a sudden. Don't know what happened.
I like you way more than normal.
Man, Jamie's so chill, man. So cool to hang with.
No, but that these seem like truly deep insights. It's almost ironic because since we've started doing this podcast, you've had epiphanies. And this actually feels like a true epiphany, and you didn't call it that.
And that's the epiphany.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Well, do you guys know a person named Sadhguru?
No. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about, but that he may not be a happy person.
I mean, when I first heard the name, I saw a couple of friends on Thursday, and he mentioned this. He's like, do you know Sadhguru is? And he said it more sad and sad. And I was like, it seemed like a meme of like I pictured right. Like a little cartoon like sad
Buddha.
Yeah, I guess that is kind of the. Can't you just picture Sadhguru when he has a little thing and he posts the cartoon? But he's a real man. Anyway,
I mean, like, just he's an actual person who exists. Not he's a guy who chops down trees and doesn't use deodorant.
No.
Likes red meat.
He's a real man.
Anyway, I've just been listening to a couple of podcasts. Like, there's a podcast feed of his speech or, you know, talks and interviews and stuff. But one of the things was, I don't know if this is super related, but
everything is related. That's an epiphany that I had recently. Is just it's all related.
But one of the things was like the word everything. I mean, everything, when you're just thinking of everything as words, like there's like.
This already sounds like garbage, but go ahead.
The example of calling a tree a tree. And this is stuff I've read 1,000 times. It's not anything revelatory, but.
By the way, there's other books, just so you know.
I got all of them, I think. But the last couple of days.
Mom, like, can you read me a story again about.
Everything.
Tree is a tree.
A tree is a word. That is just a thing. I'm looking at the tree outside. It's just like, that is just a living thing that's right there. Even living thing is a word. But just, I don't know. It broke something down for me when I was, because I, and this is where you'll think I'm crazy and I've talked about in the past, but part of my
practice. This is where
part of my practice the last couple of months has been on my walks, and I literally write down on my to-do list every day, walk and hellos, because I like greet the trees. I even try to greet the ground now, like, or just like whatever I see, I'm like greeting it, like the sky, and just hi. And oh, it was
I take back what I said about now is the time, because now is the time.
But I forgot what book or podcast or whatever it could have been in the last couple of months, but it was like, when you really look at trees and nature, there's almost a beckoning to it. And I've always had like I felt like a love for trees in particular, but yeah, when you look at a tree and you kind of see it waving, it's like just kind of thinking of that as like saying welcome to you. And the idea that nothing is really there until you see it. I'm not really good at this metaphysical shit, so I'm like,
what you're talking about is being present in the moment. And this has been a problem for you for a long time. And it sounds like some of the work you've been doing for yourself over the past year plus of the pandemic is starting to have an effect on you, so that you are more present and you're greeting the trees and you're greeting the ground and you're not in your head going, I can't greet the trees because I have to get sodas and candies.
And high school was embarrassing.
Yeah. Or high school or a thousand other things since. Like, I mean, I'm far from, you know, there. And obviously, like, I've had these moments the last 10 years of knowing you. Like, there's been phases, and right now this is a phase as any other, but like you said, Amber, it does feel like it has a lot more lasting power, and
you feel energetically different. I think I've said that the last couple of times we podcast together.
Well, last time it was because he was on drugs. This time
it's but like it truly feels like there is a change, and like no pressure, because life and change
cyclical.
Yeah, it's not a straight line, but I'm happy for you. It seems like you're in a good place.
I think overall, and part of what I'm trying to do every day is, I have a note that I'm looking at right now. It's like, am I distracted or distracting? Like, am I distracted by something or distracting myself with something, which is usually the case. But whatever it's going to take to get me just back in the moment and try to make the choice to do whatever I'm going to do.
But realize that distracted and distracting are just words, like tree. So
100%.
There's a thing over there that is what that is. And then there's the word that's different from the thing, you know?
And this was another, I'll call it an epiphany, but
the idea that was my fault that I called it.
I know.
He was being so present up until then.
My bad.
But then you labeled it. Yeah.
The idea of giving ourselves permission. I mean, that I'm always looking for permission from other sources, other people, for whatever it is I want in my life. And it's like, I just have to give myself permission. But it just occurred to me that, I don't know if you guys remember, I did a podcast for a couple of years when I was still at the Improv called Gatekeeper.
Oh, yeah.
And I interviewed bookers and agents and some comedians about, you know,
no one literally involved with Gates, though.
I think that was always a joke I wanted to. I mean, I think there was a little jokey sketch I put in about actually interviewing a gate manufacturer. That was really well received at the time, actually. Got a couple emails, people really liked that. Yeah, I don't think I did, but It was like occurred to me. And at the end of every episode, I'll be like, I forgot what it was, but it was like three things I would say every week. Like, you know, love yourself. And I forgot the other things, but like literally, you know, to an audience of people.
Deep, significant things, though, like love yourself, but stuff you don't remember.
Being cool as fuck. Definitely one of them was like being cool as fuck. Like, I forgot. I'll look it up for next time. But, it was like, oh my God. Like I've been so disconnected from a version of myself from years ago that would have a literal podcast called Gatekeeper, where I called myself the gatekeeper, that would be giving like this advice, like because that's exactly what I need to be more of myself right now anyway. It's just giving myself permission to be myself, giving myself permission to share myself with the world. I've been holding back.
Sorry, I lost in the middle there what you're talking about. You're saying the podcast you did called Gatekeeper was a version of yourself that you want to be more connected to.
I've been disconnected from a version of myself from a few years ago. Yeah. I think I've found
that when you were doing that podcast, you knew what you were doing and you felt like you had significant stuff to share with people and you felt comfortable doing that. And you feel like you lost that for a little while and now you're getting that mojo back.
Yeah. I'm seeing now that, of course, opening Dynasty was like a dream come true. And of course, no regrets, so many truly magical nights. And of course, like having learned so much, but I think all the pressure of it and all the learning and not having run a business before and like managing people and all the things happening so quickly. And it was like really had a profound effect on my everything. Like, and so I think that was this last year, that was a silver lining, was getting to really see how I was affected by all that. And so, yeah, getting to now have this second chance to reopen with a lot more of an understanding of what this is and how we want to do it and how to have, you know, better boundaries. And it's just exciting.
The end.
The end.
No, I'm not trying to cut you off, but it felt like you were sent, like you kind of stopped and I was like, are you done or, you know?
I think I am done. I think I do think that that was a good place to end.
We went a little bit past it, huh?
Guys, the ride is over. You have to get out of the car. You can't just sit here. We have to load in the next group. I think that's going to be an interesting thing to see is when things do reopen, is it really a new beginning or is it just more of the same difficulties, you know?
Well, it will be all the same difficulties. I mean, I think that's the thing is like,
it's both.
By difficulties, I'm not talking about the specifics. I'm talking about the way of handling it, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're right, it is still the same business with the same issues. You're still going to have the same people showing up every Wednesday night going, I'm coming in without a mask, and you're going to have to deal with that. But maybe what you're saying will be true, which is now you're going to be able to in a different way. You know,
I think so. Well, I'll report back.
Whenever you show up next.
Whenever I show up next.
With or without drugs.
I think probably without. But maybe with.
I guess we'll see.
Wow. Anything's possible.
Let's keep all the options open.
So you have shows starting up. Are you going to be doing shows 7 nights a week?
I think by July we'll be close to that. I mean, I think we have one show on Wednesday. I think that's going to become two. And then the following week we have JFL, the Montreal auditions are happening, and that's like a full week of shows, two shows. So for a week and a half, we're going to be
people who are auditioning now.
I know. I know. Like, it's going to be weird.
Like rusty as hell.
I think that they're going into it knowing, and like the bookers and all that are going to know. But then I think June,
bookers are notorious for cutting people slack. They're always like, no, I get it. There's a lot going on. So
there's potential. So let's book them.
I know they didn't nail it. Like, it wasn't like they killed right out of the gate.
But they were probably nervous. I was here, you know.
And it's been a pandemic. Let's be honest, you know.
You guys are like the nicest, best bookers.
That's how we started working for Montreal because, you know, je pourrais.
But yeah, and then June, I think we'll start booking stuff. And then hopefully by July, we'll be back to close to 7 nights a week. But it might take a few months.
Will you be performing? Because I know like part of your mission right now is giving yourself permission to share yourself. And that was something that you did and didn't do. So is your performing a part of this plan?
I'm open. I have some ideas for some stuff, but that's not my number one goal.
Your focus.
To start.
That's fair.
Is that an epiphany?
I have been thinking about myself as a performer. I mean, I actually, my last therapy session, we really got into it, like, because I've stopped posting largely on social media in the last few years, and we were starting to talk about why, and I started going into this because I literally have this filter, like, before, and I have so many drafts, it's kind of probably crazy, but of things I've written, you know, posts, and I realized, like, the stakes, there's no stakes, who cares?
Right.
But, like, sometimes, like, a nice thing about a friend or my family, and just, like, I just, it's sitting in my drafts, because as soon as I'm ready to post, I'll start to literally go through the people in my head of, and they're going to think this, and this might make this person mad or feel weird. And so we're starting to break that all down. But I think a part of it is, as a performer, I'm going back, I'm holding on to a lot of, like, bad nights, like in bombing situations. And I think you guys will get this completely, but, like, and if I'm writing anything even remotely funny or trying to be funny, I'm very self-aware, but I'm thinking about, like, well, if this comedian sees me trying to make a little joke, they're going to think that this is me thinking this is the best joke. They don't know me well enough to know that I know this is not a great joke, which is just becomes
That's
crazy.
A lot of layers.
Instead of just putting shit out there, who cares? I see plenty of comedians
And they'll get
love.
To know you if they don't know you. Or
and
they
it doesn't
won't.
Matter.
Shit. Yeah.
But as far as my performance, just going back to, like, oh, like, looking at years of, which I think a lot of it's normal, but, like, especially when I first started, like, yeah, just hosting a show and, like, not knowing what I was doing. And then I'll just have, like, these flashbacks, like, oh my God. And these great comedians were on the show and they saw me do what I thought was okay. But in retrospect, if I saw that person, I'd be like, why are they still on stage? And that's a lot of self-judgment and all that. But, like, so I'm trying to get through that and put that past me and actually just approach performing in a new way where, yeah, just knowing to pick my spots more and actually try to, and there, not to say there's not some shows and stuff that I've done that I'm proud of, but.
And which two were those?
What's that?
Which two were those?
They were the two Spangler shows that you were at. We're actually, we're just not on the same page, but, but yeah, just like, I want, especially in performance, to just make sure that I'm putting myself into it and, like, not just like, I think part of it is sometimes, especially hosting or something like that. It's like, yeah, the stakes are low. And it's like, I'll tell myself, like, yeah, if you don't do great, it doesn't matter because you didn't prepare. But I think I can apply that kind of thing to a lot of things in my life. Like, waiting to the last minute is a great way to just tell myself whatever happens. Well, it doesn't matter because I didn't put myself into it. That makes sense.
I cringed at that just because I saw myself in a mirror. It wasn't judgment, just so you know.
No, I didn't. Yeah.
I also, when you say that stuff about, like, well, if it doesn't, when I host the show, if it doesn't go well, it doesn't matter because I didn't prepare. I also always look at that from the point of view of an audience member who has paid for a ticket or maybe not paid for a ticket, but certainly given up their time to come and watch something. And what would that person say if they were like, you know, if the host said, just so you know,
I don't have any
expectations.
Oh, yeah. Because,
you know, it's like, wait, what? You know? So I don't know. I don't know if that's the right way to go.
No, I don't think anyone thinks it's the right way to go, but I get it. It's like a self-preservation thing where it doesn't make any logical sense, but in your head, if you try your hardest and put everything into it and fail, wow, I'm a failure. But if you have held back at all, you can always say, like, well, I wasn't even trying. Like, it's a way to protect yourself from feeling vulnerable. And it's not good for anyone, for the audience, for yourself, for anyone, but it is a thing that happens. Right? Like, that's what you're saying, kind of. Right?
100%. And I see it a lot when I see young performers hosting shows and stuff. I think, and I don't think this is everyone. I think some people approach it, if you've gone through a program, whether it's UCB or whatever it is, or a theater program in college, you might have a better or different approach.
Fame, the high school.
I went through a theater program and I went through NIO, but sure, go on.
No, well, tell me if this relates. When I first started doing stand-up and hosting a show, not that I would compare myself to some of the great people I saw, but when I first started going to, especially like alt shows in LA, I'm like, yeah, you see great stand-ups going up with their notepad, just throwing stuff out. And they've earned that. They're going up at this tiny show because that literally is their workout. And they have the chops. They have all this stuff. And I didn't.
But you like internalized it as like, that's what the cool kids do.
Exactly that. And so when I was, it was like, yeah, we're just going to mess around because that's what comics do. You mess around and you might write some jokes that don't have a punchline yet on a piece of paper. Anyway, no regrets. It's great.
It got you here.
It got us right to this moment, guys, where that Hello thing moment. Out there. That
I have to say, I'm nervous about the performing thing for myself, just because I feel like my hold on that space was so tenuous to begin with. And having disappeared for a year and a half, basically, I'm like, how do I even start to get back into this? You know, it's not like I'm going to just go, well, I'm going on tour. I'm going to 5 states. I'm, you know, it's like, what do I have to do to even re-enter that world? I just have no concept of that right now.
To perform or to get booked?
Either one. I mean, performing doesn't make me too nervous any more than it ever did, because that's what I've done for my entire life. And I know how to do that. But like, to get to the place where I'm like, yeah, I'm doing this show, I'm like, what do I do? Go on the Comedy Bureau and find an open mic somewhere? You know what I mean? Like, it's just a weird situation.
And it feels like it's going to be a pretty flooded market.
Well,
not to talk you out of it.
No, I agree.
But I think there's going to be a lot of people eager for stage time at the exact same time.
Right. So I don't know what the solution is.
There's at least a spot for you when we start doing stand-up shows at Dynasty that we book.
Well, appreciate that. That's why I wanted to do this episode. No, that would be great. I would love that. It's
like when you took your friend out to lunch so that you could ask him for money.
Look, if what you're saying is you want to perform at Dynasty Typewriter, I get
it. Sure, fine. You could have a spot.
No, that's not what I'm saying. No, I understand. It's fine. You have to ask people for what you want. No, I'm not. No, of course I would love to do that. That would be amazing. But, you know, I don't know. The whole thing just looms large in my head right now, you know, because I'm like, what have I done that I'm at a point where I don't know 100% that I can come back from this, you know, despite the fact that I have been doing this so much for so long. It's a weird situation. It's a weird place to be in.
Have you been writing at all?
I've been writing a ton. I have not been writing necessarily stand up, but that doesn't mean I can't do that in 10 minutes. You know what I mean? Also when I do stand up, I mostly just don't prepare so that I don't take too many, you know, so I know it's not a risk. Like, I don't try that hard. And that's another part of it, is I have been writing a ton, but a lot of other stuff besides stand up. Like, I'm working on a ton of different ideas right now that I would like to ultimately in some way manifest as produced television programs of one type or another. But that's a different thing, and that takes a lot of energy on its own. But if you remember, right when this thing happened, I was just starting to kick that show I had written into a higher gear, and that sort of went out the window. I mean, that was my plan, was I have this show, now I want to really develop it in terms of building it into a stand, you know, an hour-long piece of stand-up, and it just didn't happen because everything shut down.
But you can do that now. That sounds like an oversimplification.
I guess, but like, yeah, I absolutely. It's just, I don't even know where to
start.
Step
one.
Yeah. So it's kind of a weird feeling. I mean, obviously that makes sense because nothing like this has ever happened to us before, but it's just a thing that I have not, an uncertainty that I have not had since I started doing comedy in the 80s, you know.
Can I give them one epiphany to?
One epiphany to rule them all, one epiphany to bind them?
It might be a binding epiphany.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read it from the post-it that I wrote over there.
Oh, but, is this Sad Guru?
This is pre-Sad Guru. This is my own shit.
Guys, meditate,
about,
I guess.
Yeah, think about how everything is just a thing.
Okay.
Nothing takes any more weight than anything else. We're not important.
Why?
Is, that, is it Eeyore?
Yeah.
He's a bit of an Eeyore, yeah.
But you just said the word uncertainty, but and the unknown. But every day we have to prove to our ego that we can not only survive, but thrive in the unknown and the uncertainty. Like, I think we need to be actively really trying to prove to it, because I think the flip side is the comfort zone. For me, it is literally this apartment, and it's been this apartment for several years now, but like, this is where nothing can, where I'm safe. My ego is safe.
Nothing can stop you. You're all the way up.
Mm-hmm. But the fun stuff, and this is the improv shit that, you know, Sean, more than anyone, like, and I think that's what makes improv, when it's good, the best thing when you're in it possible, is like, you don't know what's coming next and you're open to it. But that whole concept is making so much more sense to me now than ever. Just like the ceiling to my joy in this apartment is like me laughing. I mean, maybe there's more to it than that, but like at something I'm watching on Netflix or Hulu or something, like, and I'm safe, but actually getting out and actually doing things and getting back out in the world and not knowing what's next and trying new things and all that, like, that's where the ceiling just, you know, is exponentially more.
In your apartment, the low, like the possibility of lows isn't very high, but also the possibility of highs isn't very high. Like, you
exactly
are in-
Yeah, I'm safe. And but what is safe? That would be, I don't want this to be it.
An exciting adventure awaits if you're ready to take the next step.
Yes. So Sean, I think you embrace that. That uncertainty is where the fun's going to be.
All right, we'll see.
Okay.
I'll take a shot. We'll see. All right. Well, this feels like a good place. Speaking of taking a shot, this feels like a good place to take a break. So we'll do that. And we'll be back in a moment with more of the show.
Who's next?
Who's next? Hey, everybody. It's Sean. Hope you're enjoying the show. I'd like it if you would follow us on Twitter at Longshot Podcast. We're doing a new thing now where we have show notes every week. We've done it once so far. We'll see if it happens again. And you can find the show notes at seanconroy.com/blog, along with lots of other interesting. And if you have music, that you play or that you record or do something with in some way. We'd love to use it for this part of the show or for the end of the show. As you know, having listened to the show quite a bit, the long shot is a ticket straight to the top. So we will plug your music if you let us use it. So send it to us. I don't know how you do that. Good luck. Now back to our show. Thanks. We're back. You're listening to The Long Shot. We just took a little break. I think it's funny that now when we take, I think this speaks to the intensity of Zoom calls, maybe not for you guys, but definitely for me. It used to be that when we were here in my apartment recording this, if we took a break, everybody would just kind of hang out together and be like chilling, whatever.
Oh, I would always go to the bathroom right away.
Now, yeah, but then it was like, okay, it's fine to be, but now it's like on Zoom, I'm like mic off, camera off, out for just a few minutes just to get back in my own space for a second.
Better for your eyes, probably.
probably true. But anyway, we're back. You are listening to The Long Shot. It is a podcast. We just checked in with Jamie Flam, who is currently drug-free. Let's find out what's going on with Amber checking it.
Pew, 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 pew.
On a bender.
So that development program that I've mentioned before through work that I'm a part of, it ended officially in June. We were tasked with a big project. It's legitimately too boring to get into. But so there's a group of 9 of us who had this big project that we had to come up with, and we are presenting it to the big monkey mucks in the
wigs,
company.
The big wigs.
Yes, yes, on Monday. So it's been especially this past week has been pretty intense because that isn't my day job. I still have work to do, and then this project looming and a puppy barking, and
the reason I picked Serbia as my favorite country.
Well, just wait, because we are basically getting there. So we've had, because it's this big important meeting, we've had run-throughs as a group, we've had run-throughs with our project sponsor. We've done a bunch of dry run throughs, and the first one I was I think it went well. The first one for the project sponsor, so they would give notes, and then we could make adjustments so that we could polish it and make it as perfect as possible before the Monday, real deal presentation. And so when we did it, I was scribbling notes like a crazy person, and really, really nervous. And it went well. It wasn't I don't think I was perfect, but it went well, and I got good feedback. But everyone else in my group, everyone else, with maybe the exception of one person, I was blown away. They were so word perfect and professional, and they have these crazy statistics memorized, it's going to that whole, self-doubt and imposter syndrome thing. It's they all do this all the time, and they know what they're doing, and I'm fucking faking it, and I don't belong here. And that whole spiral. Mm-hmm. We had a meeting as just a group on Friday, and it came out, all of them except me are directly reading off a script. I was trying to do it off the top of my head. So I was like,
oh, what do you mean?
They have this perfect
script in front of them?
What?
What did you say, Jamie?
Oh, this was it on Zoom?
Yeah, I mean, all
it
of
was
this
on
is on
Zoom, and they were literally had.
They just would put the document up on their screen. And it's
I couldn't believe it. You were looking into the camera the whole time, and just you said everything without an or an you never hesitated.
Well, when I figured that out, I was like, it was twofold. Like, on one hand, like, okay, thank God. It's not like I'm lacking or like inherently less professional. They have like this tool that is helping them. But two, I am such a fucking idiot for not thinking to do the same thing.
I think I would have done the same thing if it makes you feel better.
But the thing is, I guess my thought process was, if this was an in-person presentation, we couldn't just read it off a piece of paper. So I was trying to prepare the same way.
Did you bring that up to them at all? Like, was that an issue with everybody?
What do you mean?
Like, did you go, guys, I thought we were supposed to be doing this off the top of our heads. What's
no,
up?
I was like figuring it out as they were talking, that they were like, well, I'm just going to read from a script if that's okay. And the other one's like, oh yeah, that's what I have been doing. Like, it was a slow reveal. And I just sat there like, oh. So well, I wrote
one of them takes you aside and is like, you might want to cut out some of the pauses in your script and have it be a little bit more on topic the entire time. I know you're doing it as if you're just coming up with it in the moment, but since it's scripted, you might want to cut those parts out.
So I wrote a script, but I've also done it now a few times without a script. So I think I'm in good shape in the sense that I know that I'm probably going to try to do it without reading as much as possible, but then I have that security blanket if I do start choking or blinking, because it is high stakes. But yeah, it was, I was dying laughing when I like pieced it together. Cause I was like, I just thought they were inherently.
I don't belong here.
Yeah, exactly.
I bet you came off the more authentic though. And
I'm sure I did. Like my presentation is very different than everyone else's, and they're having me start, and maybe that's why. Like, because everyone else is like, you know,
the atmosphere on Mars is 75% nitrogen, 12% sulfur.
Wait, what are the stakes, Amber? Like, what after this presentation, what happens?
Because I can't talk about it, but I'm presenting two big mucky mucks, and there's a possibility that our ideas actually get implemented by the company, and if they do, they might bring us on to work on the project. And it's a big project.
That's so cool.
It's a big one. So it would be huge. It would be a thing where you would see it everywhere. Minions.
Aaron said minions.
Minions.
There's going to be 50 minions in Universal City.
You can see it from space.
It is funny, that whole thing with presentations, like as an adult doing a presentation for the class, like I'm just thinking of, this might've been the last time I did this, was when I was in graduate school at Teachers College in Columbia. And we were supposed to, it was like, you know, like a curriculum course for junior high school teachers. So it was the summertime. So it was all people who had just graduated from college who were starting to get their master's in teaching, except for me, who was just this dopey asshole who had already been teaching for like 4 years.
So they were like used to school assignments, and now you're a little bit.
And I had been doing comedy and they were like, come up with an interesting way for your students to do a book report or something like that. And so everybody did like very boring,
a
like
diorama. Humdrum.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to do it as a documentary between three different characters where I play all the characters.
Oh, that's
and so
fun.
I was like interviewing myself and like going, you know, that last guy who was up here was incredibly handsome and charming. I think he, you know, whatever. And I fucking killed because it was so
different from
everybody. Not what everybody else was doing, you know? And maybe that's what I'll do when I start doing stand-up again.
Something different.
No, a documentary book report.
Oh, that's cool. And in this meeting, I mean, we're nine people who don't know each other. We've never met in person. Mm-hmm. We met through this organization.
So it's not, they're not all from your department or anything like that. It's
zero,
like a huge
zero
corporation.
Or even from DreamWorks.
Oh, okay. I thought it was an internal thing.
No, it's internal of NBC Universal.
Got it.
I am the only person representing DreamWorks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, from all over. It's a big company. It's a it's a big corporation.
NBC Universal is it's like all over the place.
Right.
It is.
So we're nine people who are nervous about this presentation who don't know each other, and the
nine strangers picked to live in a Zoom.
Well, I could be wrong, but I feel like our nervous energy started getting channeled into bizarre places where it was like, okay, so should I throw it to the next person by saying their name or by saying their topic? And we like talked about that for 10 minutes, you know, and it's like, it doesn't matter. But like, it does matter in the sense that like, we should look cohesive and like we're on the same page, but I don't think how we transition from my idea to the next person's idea is going to be the deal.
Guys, can we not get bogged down?
But I'm really looking forward to.
Also, my name is Sandy and my topic is beaches, so it kind of doesn't matter.
But I'm looking forward to having it done on Monday because, again, it's that feeling that I haven't had since college of like, I should work on that paper, but like, I'll find anything else to work on in the meanwhile. And I have other things to work on because I have my actual job. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like always in the back of your head and always making you feel guilty, like because you're not doing it. So it's getting done and I'm excited for that. And I hope it goes well. And it's one of those things like it would have been nice to go out for a drink with these nine people after this presentation. So it's interesting to do it very alone, but
unscripted.
I wrote a script. I basically, what I did was I was like, oh, I'll just write down what I've been like.
Up next is number four, Amber. And just so you guys know, she's a little all over the place. So try to keep up.
But I will say, like, maybe I'm wrong. I have no idea. But, like, some people just say word for word the text that are on the slide. You guys know about – you guys fuck with PowerPoint? we do a lot of PowerPoint presentation. But so
wait, there's
people,
a – you guys are on a slide?
Each slide. So some people see like word for word what's on the slide, and I purposely, even in the script that I wrote, say slightly different words than are in the on the slide, because it shows like, hey, I really know this. Like, I'm talking about something that I'm interested in and care about and are passionate about, and I'm not just saying 4 score and 7 years ago because it's written on the slide.
All right, I'd like to call this meeting of Mucky Mucks to order. Let's talk about the presentations we just saw. Let's start with the girl who talked about the Gettysburg Address, where she tried to say it but said the wrong words. The words were right on the slide. And she said, also, a while ago, some shit happened.
And, and there's the possibility they said, like, oh, those Mucky Mucks might ask follow-up questions. And it's like, no, this is the extent of my knowledge. I don't know this area. It's not.
I have a question. Why didn't you read what was on the slide?
So, as a group, we were all jokingly practicing, saying, like, that is a really interesting question. And we will look into it. You know, like, we don't know anything besides what is in this presentation. It's not our everyday job. It is out of our realm.
Well, you have to reappropriate the question and answer with something that you do know. You have to be like, that is a really interesting question. And it leads me to remind you that, you know, as Lincoln said, 4 score and 7 years ago, it was.
And, you know, we talked about like what we're wearing, like we're really in the weeds of this one. So
should I introduce the next person by what they're wearing or by their shoes?
I mean, this one's on me. I was the one who asked because I wanted to be sure. Like, what is the protocol? Do we have our cameras on? Do we have them off? Do we have them on when we present? Like, I just want to be correct. And so it's while you're presenting your slides.
Thank you for being here. I'd like to tell you about Lincoln's Gettysburg Address.
Well, like, if it of was a it presentation, you would all turn off your cameras
tech,
except me.
Tech comedy.
But I'm happy that that's the case, that I only have my camera on while I'm presenting so that I could, like, like, I don't have to be very professional listening for a solid 30 minutes. I just have my 5-minute chunk or whatever.
Right. You can do whatever the fuck you want while the other people are presenting. Just make sure you turn your mic off because you don't want to just be like,
that boy.
Four score and the rest.
That's kind of a handsome Abraham Lincoln.
Hey, I'll take some credit for that.
That's why they called him Lady Killer.
Oh, all right.
That and the murders. So that's Monday you have that?
Mm-hmm.
And will you find out Monday whether you've been invited to be participating in the Muckety Muck project?
I had like a one-on-one with one of the guys who run my program. And so I was like, yeah, looking forward to next week because then our project's over and it's smooth sailing. And he's like, maybe, or maybe in the room they say, start working on this. Or maybe in the room they say, we like it, but could you change this, this, and this and go back to the drawing board? Or maybe you are done. Like, we don't know until Monday, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Also, I don't actually work here. So, you know, good luck.
They might listen to the presentation and then 2 weeks later get back.
Will we get to hear about what it is after?
If it gets picked up, yeah. If it gets bought.
I really hope it does.
I like the idea that that guy just... I like the idea that that guy just sat there for half an hour and told you different possibilities.
Or...
maybe, or... it could be that they all get skateboards and come over to your place to let you know that you're now part of their skateboard club. Could happen.
That would be so fun. I'll keep you in the loop. And
we're not even in the loop yet. So
Right. I will possibly open up the loop at some point. But so again, this was very looming, and I think it was looming in ways that I wasn't even fully conscious of, because Friday after we had that meeting and I learned that you could have a script, I suddenly was like 20 pounds lighter, like, okay, this is going to be fine. We can do this. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not me.
This is how Rocky felt going into the ring for his bout against Apollo Creed. He'd been training all that time. Now you're not chasing the chicken. You're not running with ankle weights on. You're doing the real thing, and it's going to be easier because you've worked so hard to get there.
Right. You know. Right.
So I guess we'll find out Monday whether you're in the skateboard club or not. What else? Checking in.
Smudgy went to his first training class this morning. It was really cute.
Pilates?
Yes. He's got to get his summer body right.
Mm-hmm.
No, we went to Petco. There's like dog training and yeah, it was good. It made me feel better, but also we have a lot of work to do because he doesn't like leashes. He like runs away from them. He's scared.
I got to say, I'm with him. Not a fan.
So like we've been trying to introduce the leash to him. He can't go anywhere anyway yet. I don't know. He has his last vaccination shot on Wednesday. And then a week later, like he's the last one in the family who's out of lockdown.
Is he going to post a picture on social media?
Like, probably.
Just make sure he puts his paws over his vaccination card and takes a picture of it.
But But yeah, so we've been bringing out the leash and like bringing it out like, oh, this is a fun thing, and laying it down and putting treats on it. And so when we went to training today, again, he's not allowed to walk on the ground because he's not fully vaccinated. So I'm just carrying him everywhere. And we walked into Petco, and when the trainer got there, I'm still holding him. And she's like, so what are we working on? And like, Jeff and I were like, he's a puppy, like all of the things. You're the expert. I don't know.
Seems like we got our wires crossed here.
But leash, namely, because once he is vaccinated, we want to be able to take him for a walk without it being Herculean. And so she's like, okay, great. And then she did the same thing that we've been doing, like present the leash in a positive way, have treats, try to get him closer. And he only even had so much progress with her, which was a bummer. Like, I wish that we had made a giant leap forward, but I also was like, okay, we're doing okay. If even the trainer's like, yeah, we're only going to get this far right now. And also that he is an absolute baby. So she's like, right now you're just working on positive affirmations, and we're working on like come redirecting his energy if he's doing something bad, and introducing a leash. Like, she's like, we're not doing tricks now. Like, we've got it's like you gotta crawl before you walk. So that was nice, because it's
like skateboard club.
Right. But it did. It took some pressure off us. It's not like we're being bad parents. Like, he's a goo goo gaga baby, and we're just doing the bare minimum right now.
I will say that I was rolling over and playing dead by the time I was 4 months old.
So. But you were a very special child.
I knew some tricks, I'm just saying.
He's not 4 months old yet.
Mm-hmm. But he's getting there.
He's getting there. In a few weeks,
yeah,
he will be 4 months.
All right. Well, this feels like a good place to start doing some parting shots. So why don't we do that? Let's start today with Jamie. Parting shots, Jamie. Parting shots. I know this was unexpected, so feel free to take your time.
Well, never forget that above the clouds and beneath the waves, it's always calm.
You can't just read shit off your wall.
Okay. Well,
great
I was
vision.
Thinking, thank you. If you saw how close it was, you'd still be impressed. Well, I was thinking about what I said earlier about performing, and kind of to give a little bit more context. It's less having ever or wanting to get on stage as necessarily doing stand-up, or I think I have no interest anymore of like hosting a stand-up show. But it is stuff like I did with the Go Day thing, but just opportunities where I can be myself more in more intimate settings, more working on experiential types of shows that we can do on the stage, where we're inviting people.
Wait, be yourself in more intimate settings. Are you talking about you want to go to Fucktown more often?
I mean, as an aside, sure.
Not against it.
Not against that, but I think I mentioned I got a new rug at some point. Was that ever a checking in?
Yes, it was. It definitely was.
It's the circle rug.
I like if this is connected to going to taking more trips to Fucktown. Like, I do. And by the way, have I mentioned that I got a new rug? Ladies.
I'm open to that as well.
So what's going on with your new rug?
It continues to be great. When I come here, I do try to be here without my phone. And I this is where I do my journaling and writing and trying to disconnect and connect with myself. But one of the things I've always loved doing, but more so than ever, is sometimes when I'm Zooming with certain friends, just sharing music and even myself, just like just trying to get back into as often as I can, just listening to music. I might have mentioned that a few weeks ago, but just listening to music without any sort of other intention beyond just listening to it and being with it. But I want to recreate this rug situation, or maybe a different rug situation, but I do imagine a big circular rug on stage with a lamp, with and inviting people just to,
I feel like you had a rug on your stage.
There's like a rug. Like,
and if you didn't, I feel like it's eminently doable.
For sure. But I think that there's something specific I love about a shag rug.
Oh, I see.
You're talking about a fucktown rug.
I really want, and that was always kind of the MO at Dynasty anyway, but like, you're coming over to our house. You're coming over, like, I want people to always feel like you're going over to your friend's house. But even more so, I want to recreate that.
We're going over to my friend's house, and I should warn you that my friend's house is a typewriter. I mean, it's not actually, it's confusing. I understand.
Do you know the Wienermobile?
But just having
I'm fine with that
over,
as long as I don't have to wear a mask, because that's a violation of civil rights.
So you want to recreate this homey atmosphere for other people, Jamie.
That is it. And that, like, just and figuring out ways of hosting or having other people host too in that atmosphere, but like coming over and being like, hey, and presenting it less as a show and more of a, I don't know exactly how it's going to work yet. I want to start experimenting with that. Even, and like, not, it doesn't matter if two or three people show up and literally is just friends, old friends, or not, but trying to cultivate, we're going over there, we're open to just being playing music, having conversations, lighting incense, certainly. I don't even know exactly what it is, but other than just like, let's just be and not having, and taking away a layer of performing. And I have even thought about inviting stand-ups. Sean, let's use you as an example, but like, where you could, a stand-up could present and work out like new material in even more like a comfortable setting than a workout room, where it's like literally just like literally with your notebook sitting cross-legged on the ground, just like sharing ideas that you're working on. It could be
I have very tight hip flexors, so sitting cross-legged on the ground is, you know, it's tough. I can do it for a few minutes, but then, you know, I need to move. So
I do too. I get that. But I don't know. I'm still figuring it all in my head, but I want to really figure out and play with that idea of come on over, probably in later time slots where there's less pressure. But come over to Dynasty. We're going to just
cut to Jamie in like 5 years, and there's a stand-up show at his theater, but it's in an isolation tank. And it's just a comic lying inside the isolation tank, talking only to himself. But okay. So relaxed.
That sounds
Could
great.
Not be more relaxed. Well, I think it's a good place to start. I think it's an interesting idea. I think it'll be interesting to see how that evolves.
Yeah, you guys will be invited.
And if you can get two or three of your friends to come.
I don't know anymore.
Is it a bringer show?
Yes. I mean, you have to bring yourself. But I don't know. We'll find out. But I just, finding out more, like, even as I'm speaking right now, like, that. And I feel like this podcast has been such like a touchstone in so many ways to this evolution. But Sean, you like kind of labeling, especially early on in this podcast, the lawyer in my brain, which was literally on top of every single word that came out and worried about. And I think it really is exactly related to the social media and not posting, because it's like, who's this going to offend? Who, like, so it's that same exact thing I'm trying to eliminate. But that's it. Like, when I can be in a flow state speaking right now, I'm a little bit in my head because I'm just literally talking about it. But in general, I'm comfortable when I can speak freely and cultivating that more. And of course,
you don't want to be consulting with your lawyer. You don't want to be like at a Senate hearing where you keep having to whisper to him and then going, I have no further comment on that. I'm refusing to answer your question, Senator.
I feel like the lawyer's retreating.
Well, that's good.
Great.
The world needs less lawyers. Anything else, Jamie? Parting shots?
Sean, do you have like a nugget or like a distilled down kind of a boba of wisdom that you could share?
No. All right, I'll go next. Parting shots. The first thing I wanted to say was just to make everybody aware, and I sent it to Amber. I didn't send it to Jamie, but I started a thing, and who knows if I'll be able to keep it up consistently, of just doing episode notes. Like for the last episode, I put links to some things that we had talked about on the last episode. It was just Amber and myself. I feel like it wasn't that thorough, but thank you. Because I just was like, it was just off the top of my head. I was like, what did we talk about? Oh, Amber pointed out that I kept on obsessing about assassinations. And so I put a link to the article that was the oral history of the assassination of Osama bin Laden. And I put a link to the scene from Munich that I had talked about last week. And I forget what else. And then, we had Jake McKelvey, who is a longtime listener of the show and all around good dude, who did a song that Aaron used on the last episode. So I put link to a...
I love Jake. I didn't know about that. That's great.
I put a link to one of Jake's videos. Anyway, when I was driving back across the country and I'm listening to a ton of podcasts, I just realized, and I had thought about this for a long time and never done anything about it, but I realized that a lot of shows, they're like, I'll put a link to that in the show notes and you can find out more about it. And that to me was an interesting idea. I was like, oh, there is something more I would like to know about the thing they just talked about on the podcast, especially on here where I feel like I reference things that I don't even know what I'm like. I know what I'm talking about, but I'm not able to articulate clearly where I'm getting this information from.
You don't have a written script.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I can just link to the thing that I'm talking about. Like there was one episode a while ago where I talked about a city that had eliminated its homeless problem in under a year. And I was like, I think it's this city. I think it's, and I couldn't remember where it was. And after the show was over, I went and looked it up. And it turns out it was Rockville, Illinois that they had been talking about. And it was a book about problem solving. And that was just one example that they used. But anyway, it was just an interesting thing. And I was like, oh, if we had a regular thing where I could put up those show notes, that might be interesting to five people whose brains work the way mine doesn't. So that's out there. That's on my website. And you can find that. I guess it's just on my blog. Me and Donald Trump both have blogs. And then the other thing I was going to say is every once in a while, I have a realization of how simple it is for my life to improve. Like the tiniest little thing I do gives me great satisfaction. And it generally has to do with electronic products that I end up obtaining in one way or another.
Interesting.
And this
snooze
was one of them. Absolutely. No. And this is a very similar situation where for like a decade now, I have had my streaming services, you know, Netflix and so forth, Amazon Prime, Hulu, Peacock,
Disney Plus,
Vudu, Crackle, you know, all running Sling. Through
Sling. Yes. Sling. Roku channel.
Well, hold on. Hold your horses.
I use Sling a lot. Real talk. If they want to be a sponsor, I would. I'm a big Sling fan.
But I have had them running through my Xbox 360, which is just technology from technology from the dark ages. We had talked about that years ago on the show where I got this Xbox installed here and installed like it's a big fucking deal.
Contractors,
but I did. I literally had it. I had a student who was like, I can come and set it up for you and give you this Xbox that I have. And I was like, great, let's do it. So for a brief period of time, I started playing video games a tiny, tiny bit, never got really into them, but have run those services through this Xbox 360. And the problem is every 6 months, the controller stops working for some fucking reason. And it's not even like I use it that much, But, you know, and if you go on YouTube or whatever, there's a million videos where people are like, you know, I'm coming to you from Manchester and I can tell you exactly how to fix your Xbox controller. All you need to do is fold up a tiny piece of paper and put it in the battery case and then replace the case with the paper inside. And it doesn't it doesn't ever work for me. So I end up having to buy a new controller. So I've bought multiple, you know, and every time I'm spending another 25, 30 bucks on these controllers. And I just got sick of it. And I, you know, a friend of mine was here last week and I was complaining about it. And he was like, just get one of these. So I did what I should have done years ago, which is I got a fucking, you said it, Jamie, a Roku box. And it is life changing for me because it's so easy. It even has a thing on the thing where I can be like, yeah, I want this thing. And it's like, there it is. You know, can
search a YouTube clip. Yeah.
Just with your voice. Yeah. And so I've just been sitting here. And I got it like a week ago and I have that, that phobia where I'm like, well, if I start messing with the back of my TV, everything's going to get all fucked up. Right. So I didn't do anything. And then yesterday I was like, fuck it, full speed ahead. I'm doing it. And I did it. And it took me probably start to finish from the time I started opening the Roku box to the time I finished setting up all the streaming services. Cause you have to go in,
right, and put your password
in and all that stuff.
Then you never have to do it again.
Right. Start to finish, I think it took me like 30 minutes total. And it worked perfectly. And I was like, I can't believe how easy this is and how easy it has made things. And then I was just like, I want to watch this. 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 Like, and it would just bring up the thing. So anyway, it's just funny to me when I realize how fucking simple I am that something like that is like the making Easter parade, so, basically, yeah. You know? And I say the Easter parade because I'm religious and I love parades and, yep, you know, but you get what I'm saying.
We have a Roku and we love it. It's great. But recently, and by recently, probably it's been 4 or 5 months now. Mm-hmm. We have to restart the Roku every time we want to watch anything, or if we switch out of one platform to another platform. And Jeff did a bunch of research. I didn't. And it's because,
hey, it's me from Manchester again. All you need to do is put a little folded up piece of paper inside your Roku.
No, the Roku's fine. It's purposely designed. Our TV is too old. It's designed to force you to upgrade your TV, mm-hmm, which is such bullshit.
It is.
Do you have a Roku TV? Because I have a Roku TV.
No, I'm sure if we had a Roku TV, it would be Asus.
That's what Roku is, just trying to dominate the market, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hate that kind of technology thing where it's like, yeah, it doesn't work anymore because you got to get a new one.
Buy a new one.
Yeah. Fuck you. Planned obsolescence. All right. So that's my boba of wisdom is get a Roku. Amber, parting shots.
Yeah, my parting shot is interesting. I'm already a little bit nervous to say it, but I feel like for a really long time in my life, I was like striving, like to get out of the bank, to do something, to be someone, to, yeah, I don't know. Like there was always a, even in my happiness, there was like a striving.
Next,
I was going to
next thing.
Yeah. And I realize we are still in a pandemic and things are still fucked up, but especially this week, I keep reflecting of like, I think I have everything I want. And I think that's okay. Like it's like it's almost as uncomfortable at first because it's like the culture at large, it's always about like, I feel like it was making me laugh because I knew I was going to have this as my parting shot, Jamie. And I feel like I'm the anti-Jamie of like, I'm going to stop reaching for large goals. Like I'm obviously still going to work hard and I think that my career is going to move forward, but it's not coming from like a, I have to because I, my life isn't complete, or I'm not complete, or I'm not enough. Like, I feel like I'm enough. I feel like my life's enough. I feel like my husband's enough. I feel like my puppy's enough. I feel like my apartment's enough. Like, I feel content.
I feel like enough is enough, huh?
But I feel content in a way that it's like almost disorienting, if that makes sense.
It's funny you said like the anti-Jamie, because I actually feel
what I mean is, like, you're always like, I need to be like working harder for my goals, and I need to be like, and I'm like, I need to work less hard on my goals.
No, I think, I mean, I guess, I don't know. And, but this idea of more, I think it is so Buddhist and so Sadhguru. But like, yes, I think that's, it's beautiful. Like, I'm emotional that you even said that, because I think that is ultimately the goal. Like, and ultimately what so many religious or spiritual traditions would say, like, we're good now, and to recognize that and take the pressure off. And as far as dynasty goes,
fine.
Well, and it's not like, again, there are problems in the world, there are things that need to be solved. I don't want it to make it sound I'm done, I'm checking out, but to also be, I'm just okay. And that's okay.
That's the best thing ever. It was like, you'll be happy when, and that's the, right. When you can eliminate that, you're good, right? Like, those things can all add to our lives and make them richer. But like, we'll never, like, and it's funny when you mentioned, John, getting the electronics. I've mentioned on the show, but like, there's so many things looking around here, that lamp, the rug, whatever it is, like that, like when I ordered it, waiting for the mail, I'm like, when I get that thing, that's the thing that we're, the one thing that's been gonna missing.
Turn my life around.
And it never has, the rug is the closest thing, but nothing, but it's still not. Anyway, I think that's great, Amber.
I think you're talking about the same thing Jamie was talking about before, which is just being present.
Right.
Like, he was talking about it in terms of saying hello to trees, which I don't totally fucking understand. But you're talking about it in terms of being content with your life, which is, to me, that is a huge accomplishment. Bigger than anything, you know, to be able to go, this is what I want and this is what I have, and those two things connect, and that's enough, you know. I think Jamie's right. I think that's amazing. It's the goal.
It feels very
American
culture. Yeah, like, you're always supposed to be
more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But especially, I mean obviously it is literally our culture in this country, I mean, in capitalism, and but especially in LA, and in the world that the three of us have lived,
especially in this podcast, which is always about just one being upping. Super high achiever. Yeah.
Right. But getting to LA and wanting to make it in comedy, and it is such a race. Being able to transcend that is like beautiful.
I'm inspired. Hear those cartoonish kids.
I thought you were just watching Bugs Bunny. All right. Well, why don't we end? Why don't we end there? Why don't we end there in a place of contentment and acceptance?
Well, and a shout out to Joe.
And then hopefully next week we'll have something better. You know, that's what we should try for next week, is something better.
I'll bring it next time. I'm sorry.
Wait, and did we? And a shout out to Joe, who might be listening to this on a road trip.
Yeah. Yeah, I just assume that everybody who's not here always listens to the show.
On a road trip.
Shout out to Joe. All right. Well, this has been The Long Shot. It is a podcast. And please rate and review us on iTunes. I always say that at the break, and there's a weird math there where if I say it every break on every episode, usually about once every 4 weeks, we get another rating and review. So maybe I should find something else to say during those breaks. But yeah, we'll see you next week on The Long Shot.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.